Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray before Ben speaks to us. Oh, loving Father, we thank you indeed for your word. We thank you indeed that Jesus taught that your name should be honored. And we pray now that Ben will do just that. He will honor your name as he shares with us. So, Father, speak to him through him and challenge us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, hallowed be thy name. I've been given four words to create a whole sermon on. But those four words throw up some important questions. What is thy name? How do we hallow it? And what happens when his name isn't being hallowed? So firstly, what is his name? Now, we tend not to think about names and their meanings in this country very much. We just think of a name. Oh, I like that. I heard that. I really like that name. And that's what we choose. Now, if we did think about the meanings, we perhaps wouldn't end up with people called Cameron. Apologies if anyone here is called Cameron or middle name or someone in your family. It means crooked nose. Mortimer, it means stagnant lake. Or Oscar, jumping fighter, which actually is quite cool. A quick disclaimer, that was only a quick Google. It might not be totally right. The rest, I hope, is. Sometimes someone's name is very appropriate. Maybe it wasn't even a conscious decision. My cousin really struggled to conceive, and Emma and I prayed for her and her husband. The day they were due to start the IVF process, their car wouldn't start. First time ever. And they missed the appointment. And soon after, praise God, she fell pregnant and she had a son. They called him Samuel. Samuel means God has heard. They didn't know that. In the Bible, we often see names that are very appropriate. So Job means persecuted. Esau means hairy. And my name, Benjamin, if we split it, Ben, the Ben means son in Hebrew. And in Arabic, it's very similar, Ibn. And in Arabic, left is Shmel, and right is Yamin. So Benjamin, son of the right hand. There's often overlap between Arabic and Hebrew. So back to God. Now, I'll just show you these. These are Islamic prayer beads. Now, there's nothing spiritual or sinister about them. They're just some beads. They're in groups of 11 with a little spacer or a little something different between them. So you can then count in 11s or in 33s. And what they might do is say, God is the greatest, 33 times, and they'll count through them. Or they might say, praise be to God, and count through them 33 times. Or glory to God, count through them 33 times. They also will go through the 99 names of God. I'm going to put them up on the screen, and I just want to like explain why I'm doing this. Why am I kind of going off into Islam? Well, I'd like to share a bit about the culture where we currently live, share that with you. But also I want to kind of demystify Islam a little bit, teach you a little bit about it. And although they are obviously, their religion and our faith, very different, you know, they are not the same at all. Many incompatible ideas. There are some overlaps. And I think it's really useful to know some of these overlaps. And that can be useful for starting a conversation, perhaps with a friend about Islam or with a Muslim, if you know somebody. So these names here is a little bit small. I appreciate that. Now, some of these are names that you'll see and hear. Up here is Ali, which is the Most High. You'd have heard of that name, Ali. Here, Al-Fatah, the president of Egypt. Fatah means the opener. And there's some here that we would be very familiar with. Al-Awwal and Al-Akhir, name words we use. It means the first and the last. Okay, so that's something that's similar to us. And there are many that are not the same. Okay, but I just thought that might be, you know, quite useful and a bit of an aside. So they will go through those 99 names and be counting them on those beads. Now, we Christians have a very similar thing going on. The Bible gives God many different names, each one revealing a different facet to his character. Now, sometimes those names are translated into a phrase, such as King of Kings, Lamb of God, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And another variant of that is Ancient of Days. Some of the names given to God in the Bible are actually a little bit hidden. We just get the word God or Lord, but we don't know what the original word was. So what's the fourth word in the whole Bible? God. Yes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So just four words in, and already the Bible shows us the depth to itself. And I think why regular study with a good study guide is really useful. It's written by a clever person, cleverer than me, with theological training, who can go to these original texts and kind of explain some of these words a little bit more. So when we see that word God or Lord, or Lord in capitals, because they're written differently, we don't always know what the exact name is being used. In Genesis 1, verse 1, the name used is Elohim, which is the mighty creator. So, forgive me, Nigel, we had training. Don't put lots of words on the screen, so forgive me. So, this one here, Elohim, creator, awesomeness, power. Now, what a really interesting thing about this one that I found fascinating is it's a plural name. But they use a singular verb with it. What does that mean? So it's a bit like me saying, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was making the heaven and the earth on day one. Do you get it? So it's emphasizing the fact of the Trinity, that God is three, but he's also one. That doesn't quite work in English sometimes, but it's a bit like that. They was da-da-da-da-da. Or he were da-da-da-da-da. In the same sentence, mixing singular and plural. Here's some more names that are given to God. Adonai, master, owner. That's also a plural. Yahweh. It was originally written without the vowels. This was used to mean the one true God. This differentiated, you know, our Father from other gods with a small g. Now, it means unchanging, eternal, I am. Now, in Israel, they would see that written, but they would say Adonai. They felt it was, they were unable to say it apart from the high priest on one day when he went into the Holy of Holy Places. And I read that Yahweh actually turned into Jehovah. I think you perhaps could see that even in the English there, like Yehovah, you know, you can see how once they added some verbs, vowels in, that could have happened. Then from Jehovah, we get a load more. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, suggesting protection. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, suggesting he's in charge of the heavens. Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. And then some more. They tend to be written as Lord, the capital L, and then the rest is capital, but a bit smaller. And then these tend to be written as God. El Shaddai, God Almighty. And that's used when God does the impossible. It suggests he is Almighty. He can do the impossible. So when Abraham and his wife Sarah had a baby, that's the word that was used there. He was way past, was way past the childbearing age. But God achieved that. El Elyon, God Most High, sovereign over everything. El Roi, the God who sees. El Echad, the one God. And the last one on this list, but actually there are some others. Abba, Father. Now, all these names could be a sermon in themselves. In fact, the last one was. You can go and listen to it on the website. In fact, I've missed out another New Testament one, Emmanuel. How can I miss that? My wife's name comes from that. And some references there. Perhaps I could distribute these for life groups if that would be useful. Now, here's the next thing that's important to note. The fact that the name is the person or the deity or whatever. Now, Ben, on its own, it's just a nice sounding word. It means sun in Hebrew, mountain in Scotland, rhymes with hen and pen. But that's the end of it. It's just Ben. When you add Higgs to the end, it becomes me, Ben Higgs. That is my name. That is me. I'm the husband of Emma. I'm the father of my three children. I'm a squeeze box player, a teacher, and everything that I am and everything that I am not is in that name. Here's a little aside that you probably don't know. BMW bought Rover for £600 million in 1994. They quickly realized their mistake and they sold Land Rover to Ford for a tenner and Rover to a Chinese group for another tenner. They kept the rights to Riley, Triumph, Metro, Spitfire, Stag, and some other names. Anytime they like, BMW can launch a car and call it the Triumph Spitfire, which just emphasizes the idea that the name is the reputation. And in products, it's the brand, isn't it? And so it is with God. All those names that describe him are who he is. It's him. Now, this is very familiar in many parts of the world. Your name is your reputation. It's your status. It is everything. Now, hallow means to greatly revere and honor. To hallow his name is to lift it up, to revere it, to honor it, to praise it. And now we know, of course, that to hallow his name is to hallow God himself. So let's recap. Hallowed be your name means to lift up, exalt, praise, and worship God. So as we heard last week and reminded this morning, the Lord's Prayer isn't just something we recite automatically while our brain is actually elsewhere. It's a format for praying. It's a structure for praying into which you can fit your own words. So however you wish to do it, in whatever language you want, whenever you like, you are to exalt him when you pray. In fact, we were created to worship him. If you've ever wondered why God actually bothered to create us, because let's face it, we've made quite a mess of this world in many ways, and you could think he could have stopped with the animals, because because they're great. So why create us? He created us, and actually, as we heard from that psalm, he created everything to praise him. So in Isaiah, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Everyone is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." So that brings us nicely back to Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. We are instructed to praise him. We were created to praise him. In fact, everything God created is to praise him. The sun, the stars, the moon, the lightning, the hail, the snow, sea creatures, wild animals, small creatures, fruit trees, flying birds, and other stuff too. Now, just a moment, we're going to finish off with quite a long video, seeing what that actually looks like. I apologize for the slightly clunky editing. And then afterwards, we will morph into a time of worship. And I'll just say that the chorus that we're going to sing, if we like, if we want to, we can join Emma in singing that chorus in Arabic. And I just want to explain that the word for God in Arabic is Allah, okay? And that's what the Christians use in Egypt to mean our Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, okay? So don't feel uncomfortable about saying that, though the English is there, and if you'd rather sing the English, no problem at all. So let's see what it looks like.
He says, "Praise him, sun and moon, and praise him, all you shining stars." That's not just a poetic idea. That's really happening, because stars don't just shine. Stars also sing. Let me just show you a couple more stars. This one is called the Vela Pulsar, and it's magnificent. It's 1,000 light years away. It's a highly magnetized neutron star. Right. It simply means this star exploded into a supernova, and in the case of the Vela Pulsar, it collapsed back on itself in a magnetic entity, and as a pulsar, it began oscillating on its axis. This one oscillates 11 times a second on its axis. And as it is oscillating, you can see what's happening. It's shooting a radio frequency out of itself. When they aimed the radio telescopes at the Vela Pulsar, this is what they heard. And this is what this guy does 24/7, day and night, 365 days a year. This is what, from 1,000 light years away, the Vela Pulsar sounds like right now. This is it. Listen to this. About you, but that blew me away. I'm thinking, wow, this is incredible. You're like, well, what does it mean? I don't know. Is that some kind of Morse code for something, or what does all that mean? I don't know what it means, but and I don't want to, you know, go too crazy here, but maybe the Vela Pulsar got wind somehow innately of Psalm 148, verse 3, and since it says, "Praise him, sun and moon, and all you shining stars," we're a shining star. We should praise him. Well, how are we going to praise him? I know. Let's oscillate 11 times a second on our axis and see if we can send a radio signal into the universe that would join in the symphony of God's praise from all creation. It's singing. The stars are singing to him. I recently stumbled on 47 Tuck. It's a beautiful cluster of stars. We'll show you the picture of it here. There are 12 of these super giant blue stars in there, but the things that are of interest to us tonight are these millisecond pulsars. And right now, tonight, while we're sitting in this room, the 16 recorded millisecond pulsars in 47 Tuck are making this sound right now. Fly, and I just tried to imagine what would it sound like if you could just for a second be God and hear what he hears. And I can't get us there tonight, but I came close. I had a friend who helped me with this little iPad program, and I'm not a DJ, but a little thing, just quickly, and I want you to see how this works. Now, this guy, we didn't look at his picture. He's PSR BO329-54. And he's only rotating 1.5 times per second, which is not all that much, but we need him in our little experiment we're going to do here, okay? And then we had the Vela Pulsar. You remember the Vela Pulsar, right? So that's that guy. But that's a little too fast for what we're trying to do, so we're going to slow that down, okay? Put the millisecond guys in there. The ones you just heard, here they come. Singing. And we tried this, and you just got to know this is unedited. We just dropped this on, and this is what happened. This is what they might be singing.